This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes. As the Florida Senate hires an outside law firm to investigate the sexual harassment allegations against Senator Jack LaFalla, we look back on the history of such high-profile claims in the legislature.
And I represented Kathy Jennings, who was the first sexual harassment case in the Florida legislature in the House of Representatives.
Students from across the state rally in Tallahassee.
I'm really excited to have you here in Tallahassee. Let's let the state know who we are. Let's come here, show them who we are, what we stand for, and tell them that we speak up for our students.
And proposed bills could help oral health in rural communities, as long as Governor Rick Scott stays far away from his veto pen.
We've brought the bill back in a little more smaller form to hopefully, again, get through, pass through the House and the Senate.
All that and more coming up on episode 128 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. The last time a sexual harassment scandal rocked the legislature was in 1991, after the House secretly paid $47,000 in taxpayer money to quiet a female staff member's claims of harassment against a powerful legislator and his staff director on a House committee. A few episodes ago, episode 125 and 126, The Influence of Sex, we featured political reporter Alexandra Glorioso as she discussed her investigative report about six unnamed staff members and lobbyists accusing the once powerful Senator Jack LaFalla, a Clearwater Republican, of unwanted touching, groping, and inappropriate language.
You know, I had gotten a tip about some sexual harassment stories from a source.
LaFalla has denied all of the allegations, and he will be investigated for sexual harassment claims by an outside Tampa-based law firm hired by Senator Joe Negron to conduct the probe. But I wanted to look back and see what has been done before about situations like this. Rick Johnson is a board-certified labor and employment lawyer here in Tallahassee.
I represented Kathy Jennings, who was the first sexual harassment case in the Florida legislature in the House of Representatives back in 1990 and 1991.
So what happened in that case?
Well, in that case, before I got into the case, a prior lawyer had worked a $47,000 settlement with the legislature that they paid out of some kind of a office supply budget and kept secret. She had been harassed by Fred Lipman, who was a representative from Broward County, and at that time was the House Majority Leader. The Democrats were in the majority.
So fast forward to today, where we have the Senate investigating cases of sexual harassment against Senator Jack LaFalla and possibly others. You wrote an opinion piece in the Tallahassee Democrat questioning whether this can be done fairly. What are you trying to get at?
What I was trying to do was bring to bear my experience with how these things can go bad and to point out particularly some things to be avoided in the course of the investigation so that you will encourage the witnesses to come forward. And when they do come forward, you will encourage them to give a thorough and truthful account of what happened. And you need to avoid making them fearful of the retaliation or of the consequences. This is going to be a very different scenario from what I would do in a lawsuit, because before I would take anybody into a lawsuit, I would make sure that she had the resiliency to withstand the rigors of what's going to be a very rough and tumble process. These are people who, as near as I can tell, were simply young women who were doing their job and had a senator, an authority figure, come up and touch them in unwelcome ways and intimate ways. And so now they find themselves in the public spotlight, or they're about to find themselves in the public spotlight with nothing to gain and nothing that they did to seek the attention.
So Senate President Joe Negron has chosen Gail Holtzman to lead the investigation, and you point out that she has made a career of discrediting sexual harassment claimants and defeating their claims. Is this what you're talking about, preparing them for a not a friendly audience?
Ms. Holtzman will have a duty to do what Negron wants. And Negron says that he wants to create a zero tolerance for sexual harassment. And the way to do that is to make people comfortable in coming forward. And so I imagine that Gail Holtzman will do what her client wants, the same as she does what her client wants in litigation. And it may be opposite of what she's used to doing, but it'll be the client's wish. One of the things that I most worry about, though, is that Senator Latvala or whatever other senators being accused are already making noises about their right to confront the witnesses against them and their right to cross-examine, their right to know about these women. And one of the things that they're going to want to do, I'm afraid, is try to look into their background and try to invade their dating behavior, try to invade their sexual history, try to obtain their medical records, some of those sorts of things. And you have none of the traditional reasons for allowing even a little of that, which is that somebody is seeking to make you pay money for their emotional distress, and so you want to examine their life.
To sort of play devil's advocate, looking out of the lens of Senator Jack Latvala, who is saying, well, what about me? And what about my word? And that I didn't do this, and my name is being tarnished throughout this process without being able to prove. How do you say to his defense in this matter, and as you just mentioned, his wanting to question the accused?
Well, those are important rights that he has, and we need to make sure that his rights are respected as well as the rights of the women who are accusing him. What I am saying, though, is that I don't deny that he has rights of confrontation and rights of questioning in some form. Now, in these, we're not talking about sending somebody to jail. That's not a possibility in this case because the Senate doesn't have no power to enforce criminal law. So I think that he could have due process if he has not necessarily the right to question anybody personally, but the right to determine what they will be questioned about within reason. And if it is within reason, then that means to talk about what happened in the workplace, what happened there in the place and the times and places of the events that are being alleged, not to go into somebody's whole sexual history, not to look at their dating behavior, look at their abortions, look at whether they've had lesbian experiences, not look at whether they've ever been raped or whether they've ever been sexually harassed by anybody else. So I think that his rights ought to be confined.
Well, Rick Johnson, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And the sexual harassment waves continue. Stephen Biddle resigned Friday as Florida's Democratic Party chairman following accusations from women that he leered at them, made suggestive comments, and created an unprofessional work environment. In his statement, he says, "When my personal situation becomes distracting to our core mission of electing Democrats and making Florida better, it is time for me to step aside. I am proud of what we have built as a party and the wins we have had for Florida families, but I apologize for all who have felt uncomfortable during my tenure at the Democratic Party. I'm working with our leadership to set the date for our party to elect my successor." Stephen Biddle. Vice Chairwoman Judy Mount, the former head of the Jackson County Democratic Executive Committee, will serve as the party's interim chief and then seek the position permanently. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you the stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. So please send your generous contribution to rotundapodcast.com. Help us expand our reach with this program. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And send us your story ideas, tips. As always, we welcome your generous support. So visit rotundapodcast.com.
Capitol today, and you get a chance to talk about a meaningful issue, what are you going to do?
It was the annual rally and tally on a very cool Thursday in Waller Park, right outside of the Capitol, for the Florida College System Student Government Association, or FISCA. Rochelle Pop Finch, coordinator of student activities and FISCA state advisor at Indian River State College, invited me, yours truly, to be a speaker to the more than 250 students from around the state.
There's 800,000 students. There's 250.
Please give a warm FISCA welcome to Tramell Gomes.
And don't shy away. Don't feel too intimidated by this building here. Be strong, walk in there, and ask them, like, hey, I am concerned about DACA. I want to know about, like, you know, guns on campus. Where do you stand on these issues? Get specific. It's so important to have you guys involved in the process. I tell my students this all the time. It's very important, and you guys are so far ahead of the curve. There's been numerous studies. A lot of people don't really know about government, how government works on the national level, on the local level. And you guys are so far ahead of the process, and I am so excited to see you guys here participating. How did I get involved? I started my process by running for student body president at Indian River State College, what used to be, Indian River Community College back in the day.
Enough about me and my rise through the Florida college system from Indian River Community College, or State College as it's known today. Time to spotlight future leaders like FISCA President Jacoby Bedingfield.
FISCA?
Yes, sir.
Is that how you guys are calling it these days?
Yes, sir.
You said it right. We used to say... We used to say FISCA back in the day.
Yes, sir.
So which school do you represent? And just tell me briefly about yourself.
Yes, sir. So I'm from Santa Fe College. I'm born and raised in Pensacola, Florida, and I moved to Gainesville to go to college. And the plan was originally to transfer to the University of Florida, but after being a part of the college system, I decided to stay for my baccalaureate degree. Mm-hmm. And I really love what I'm doing. I love being here to speak up for students. I love this organization. So that's just a little bit about myself. Just being here to speak up and just love serving students.
I have an inclination, someone put a bug in my ear, that you might actually be here in Tallahassee one day. You
yes,
might
sir.
Be walking
yes,
the halls sir. Of the Capitol making some policy.
I hope so, yes, sir. And this is a great start for that. This is a great start, being out here meeting with legislators, speaking to students, and just making sure that we know what we're here to fight for. And I think that's going to really help me when I decide to run for office in the near future.
What are students concerned about these days?
Yeah, so right now the biggest concern for us is funding. Last year we got about a $30 million cut for the budget. Only about three schools in our Florida college system got increases. And so that was a really big downer for us. The university system got an increase, yet we serve double the amount of students. And so right now that's a big issue for us, because schools are losing counseling centers, they're losing tutoring services, they're losing any academic services for students and the resources that students need. And also right now we're focusing a lot on our baccalaureate degrees, and baccalaureate degree caps are an issue that we're trying to deal with as well. The legislature wants to put a cap on us, but we have affordable degrees. Every baccalaureate degree across our state is $10,000 degree, and we our degrees serve needs in the community. So those are just a couple, and also safety and security for our students, increasing safety and security on our campuses.
I keep hearing safety and security.
Yes, sir.
In what
yeah.
sense? Like, what's the detail? What's specific? What are you guys alluding
yes,
to?
So so with safety and security, we focus a lot on sexual assault awareness. That is a big issue. The numbers are continuing to increase across the state. Only 40% of our campuses offer mental health services, and that's something that we're going to fight for. Additionally, mental health, like I mentioned, is a part of that. Being able to help people and give people the resources they need need in mental health will in turn help us with safety and security. And so I think those two issues specifically, but any issue that comes up that helps keep our students safe, we will fight for it.
All right. Well, I wish you all the best, and thank you so much for having me out here today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to have you, and I'm just glad to get inside and speak up for our students.
All right.
Thanks again to Indian River State College, Rochelle Pop Finch, and all of the students and institutions in the Florida college system. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. As I was telling some of the students at FISCA about hanging out on the 10th floor mini cafe, you're always liable to bump into someone you've been meaning to catch up with in the legislative process. After being vetoed 2 years ago, there are new bills in the Florida legislature that would establish a dental student loan forgiveness program for dentists serving in underserved communities. The bills by two Republicans, Senator Aaron Bean and Representative Colleen Burton, would give participating students up to $50,000 per year for up to 5 years to help repay their student loans. Oral surgeon Gerald Byrd says graduating students are tempted by big cities and high salaries, but they often want to help rural and underserved areas.
But what prevents them is that student debt. If you have a $400,000 student debt, you cannot go into an underserved area and expect to open up a practice. That debt load alone, and for some students, could be as high as $4,000 a month payment.
Similar legislation passed unanimously in both the House and Senate, but Governor Rick Scott vetoed the bill, claiming he could not support a program that does not place appropriate safeguards on taxpayer investment. Proponents of the measure claims the new bill is a remedy to the governor's concerns. Among the differences, House Bill 369 and Senate Bill 764 only offer up to $50,000 in reimbursement instead of what used to be up to $100,000. Joanne Hart, the chief legislative officer with the Florida Dental Association, says there was a misunderstanding with the bill because they included accountability measures, such as making sure the participant is a full-time employee at a county health department or community health center.
If you stop participating in the program, then you forfeit receiving those funds. So we did have accountability measures. And again, it was unfortunate that the misunderstanding took place and it wasn't clarified before it got to the governor's desk.
Anything else you'd like to add that I didn't ask?
Well, one of the things that we do want to make sure that we're getting the message out is that oral health literacy, oral health prevention is something that's very important. I think that we understand that people have issues with getting access to dental care, but we also think it's important that we are educated on how to prevent going into situations where you are having dental decay and cavities.
This legislation is a key priority of Florida's Action for Dental Health, which is the Florida Dental Association's initiative to improve the oral health and overall health of all Floridians. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. Be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.